Now, let's lighten the mood a little bit. I want to talk about the iPhone. Stilgherrian just sent out a tweet, actually, saying he was preparing for my interview on Balls Radio by spreading out the towels. So I'm not quite sure why. I mean, do you sort of like expect this segment to be something akin to doing a home delivery or something? Do you, Stilgherrian?
Your cab fares are extra, yes. Look, it's actually because I am talking to you from a hotel room in Sydney. And one of the things about modern hotels is they like to have glass top desks, which are, of course, from their point of view, they look nice and they're very easy to clean, but they're very reflective of the sound. So they can sound like you're recording in a bathroom. And The irony is, to make it sound less like a bathroom, you spread out a towel.
I just had me curious. I was thinking, and some hot water, please, nurse. I just wondered what was involved in this. But look,
room service can be most obliging to regulars. I think we've all seen that movie.
We have, yes. The big tech story of the week. Of course. In fact, this is not just, and we have to talk about it, I guess. I'm not quite sure how we will try our hardest to make it interesting, although I think everything's been said. It's not just the big tech story. It's been all over the news. The biggest thing to happen since the iPhone is apparently the iPhone.
Says Apple.
Says Apple, the iPhone 5. And what I thought was interesting was how quickly the bloody thing sold out. I mean, Telstra sold out of theirs in 18 hours. Was this a bit of a marketing ploy, do you think, on the part of Apple?
No, I think everyone's decided to buy it. I mean, they're real numbers. The whole Telstra sold out all of their pre-order stock in 18 hours. Okay, that's one statistic. But the American telco AT&T experienced record sales. Apple sold 2 million pre-ordered iPhone 5s globally in the first 24 hours. That's one every 23... No, other way around. 23 a second.
Yeah, incredible, isn't it? And we have an analyst at JP Morgan who reckons the iPhone 5 could add 0.5% to the USA's fourth quarter GDP figures. Now, it could be enough to get President Obama over the line at the next election, of course, except for the fact that analysts, like economists, haven't really got a clue what's going on. But it gives you an idea, doesn't it, of the whole magnitude of this thing. So I'm just thinking, has the world gone crazy? It is, after all, just a phone.
Yes, it has gone crazy, Phil. Next question. No, I mean it has. I don't get it, because when you analyze the device itself, even taking into account the fact that Apple has a terribly well-integrated ecosystem and an operating system and so on, and you know, whatever negative things one can say about Apple and its environment, it is very well-crafted. But at the same time, there's nothing earth-shattering about what's just been released. Yes, the iPhone 5 is a little bit bigger than the iPhone 4 and 4S, so 4 inches of the screen rather than 3.5 inches. Yes, it's a bit faster. Yes, it has more memory. But it's really brought Apple's hardware specifications up to much the same standard as the flagship models from the other leading manufacturers. And the one to mention, I suppose, in this context is Samsung's Galaxy S3, which has also been selling very well. It's also interesting because while Apple is the biggest American corporation, the richest corporation in the history of planet Earth, Samsung is Korea's big technology company. I think, as we've said before, it ends up being kind of on a par to Apple simply because, as well as selling things like phones and laptops and tablet computers, it also sells toasters, air conditioners, you know, TVs, you know, all sorts of consumer electronics. So there's national pride wrapped up in it. There's the whole cheering of the winner wrapped up in it. But what I don't get, and I just simply don't understand it, that because a new device comes out, that doesn't mean your old device suddenly stops working.
No. And in fact, it's what it does is more important to most people. That ecosystem that you talked about. I mean, I have fallen for that hook, line, and sinker, and I'm very happy with it. Thank you. So I love the fact that I can use my Apple TV and I can use my iPhone as the remote control. And if I take a photograph on my iPhone, it appears on my iPad. I love all that sort of stuff.
Oh, and the competing ones have the same effect. If you get an Android phone, such as the Samsung one we mentioned, or there's ones from HTC and all sorts of other manufacturers, then you can connect to the Google version of that universe. Now, some aspects work better than perhaps Apple's does. Google's always seem to get email working better than, for example, Apple. But then on the other side, as you say, with movies and imagery and so on, you know, Google's image service, Picasa, what?
Yeah.
You know, people haven't really taken on to that. So strengths and weaknesses. And then, of course, coming in, up in third place, you have Microsoft, who are releasing Windows 8 in the coming weeks. And they have their own ecosystem of all of, you know, Microsoft's Office 365 online to compete with Google's Google Docs online and so on. So you've got these three big empires who, if you buy into their...
They just started a bit of work next door by the sounds of it.
Yes, I did say that, they're recently renovating here.
that's all right. Look, we won't let it put us off because we're professionals. And
that's right.
If someone decides they're going to reconstruct the hotel around us, we will continue without even mentioning it, except for the fact we have mentioned it too late. But anyway, look, I mean, I think the operating system.
You know, we've got these three big empires, and if you buy into one or other of them, then you will have this easy integrated experience. This was shown up for me very well on the weekend when I went with a friend to buy a new Android phone. He was getting that set up. He simply put the SIM in the new phone, connected it to the network, punched in his Google ID, and it automatically said, aha, this is your new phone. I've got a record, says Google, of all of the apps you've bought or downloaded, even the free ones, and it just started setting up his phone the way he'd set up the previous one.
Yeah, which is of course the way Apple does it as well. And so I think
that's right.
I mean, I think you're right. It depends which road you've gone down. Interesting. You wrote a comment. You wrote an article, I should say, this week on Crikey about it all, and one of your readers. Almost put it down, you know, it's almost falling into two camps, perhaps three, but certainly Android versus Apple. One of your readers made the comment that it's almost like a new religion, isn't it? You know, are you Christian or Muslim? You know,
that's actually a great analogy because both of those religions, and let's throw in Judaism as well as coming in third place. They're all people of the book worshipping the same God. And they all agree that a whole bunch of people from Moses through Jesus, etc., are great religious figures. So it's odd that, yes, we all agree that this is the future technology. We all agree about mobile devices and cloud computing and integrated services. It's just that which religion are you picking?
That's right. Absolutely. So the thing that people are getting excited about, I guess, more than the phone itself, even though it's sort of been wrapped up in the phone, is iOS 6. So the new phone is thinner. It's got a bigger screen. It still shatters when you drop it on the floor, no doubt. So you'll probably get through two or three of these phones before the new one comes out.
That's it. Is that the great strategy that, you know, you would be perfectly happy to get a new phone every 2 years when your 24-month contract ran out with your telco, except for the fact you've dropped the thing and the screen's broken and, oh, might as well get a new phone.
I wonder how many people actually get to the end of their contract without that happening. That's certainly not been my experience lately. But iOS 6 is coming out this week. A lot of what was talked about in the iPhone launch was really stuff that's on the new operating system, which anyone who's got an iPhone can get for their old iPhone. And I'm quite excited about that because that's functions. That's things I can do rather than just a piece of hardware, which is a bit boring, really, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think the operating system, the software, the ecosystem it creates for developers are all important because when you get down to it, mathematically all computers are equivalent and therefore all smartphones are equivalent in the sense that, you know, if it's got a camera, it can take photographs. If you want the photographs to have a sepia effect, well, that's just mathematics and you can throw mathematics at it. And the only real difference has been, you know, is it going to be fast enough to do that? And so on. And we're reaching the point now, I think in 2012, that all of the flagship models from every manufacturer all have sufficient base technical specifications to do, you know, record high definition video, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
All right, you can't play the latest Frag the Zombies game because that really pushes it, but that's why people get you know, big desktop computers with big screens and so on. So really, it's getting to the point now where the software is what makes the difference, and the cool kids, the developers who actually make all of the apps, make all of the fun stuff, they will move to the ecosystem and spend their time developing software for the ecosystem that A, they find the most fun, and B, they think is going to be the most profitable for them.
So what about this lack of near-field communication? That was one of the things that was touted as was going to be in this new release, and it's not. And NFC, as they like to call it, I mean, this is the ability for you to buy things without pressing buttons. You just almost have to be in the shop, and somehow the point-of-sale system knows you there. Did it surprise you? I mean, was that going to be the big announcement?
No, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, I was a little bit curious as to the decision, and Apple will never say why they didn't include NFC in the phone. But I've got a couple of theories. One is that with all of this emphasis on being thinner, I mean, you know, I've never heard anyone complain that their phone was too fat, but never mind. Apparently, this is a thing. You know, there's only so much you can fit into a small physical device. And if you're starting to get GPS satellite receivers for navigation and all of the different communications antennas for all of the different phone networks and Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, maybe they just ran out of room. Mm. The other theory, although I have two more theories, one is that the Commonwealth Bank have received some criticism recently when they were told, oh, why haven't you put the ability for NFC payments into your new Ka-Ching app for Android? And CommBank said very simply, well, if the people who make the NFC chips will actually share information with us on how to do all of this securely, we will happily do it.
Right.
So this, there's a question
the security concerns.
Not that NFC is not secure. It can be made secure, but the people who make the chips aren't necessarily sharing the information with the software manufacturers. And my third theory is that Apple strategically just doesn't think it's time yet.
Yeah.
And if they leave it out this year, then next year they can come back with the iPhone 6 with it, and then you've got a reason to buy the new phone.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got to save something for next time, haven't you? So I'm gathering from the way you've been talking, are you a Samsung Galaxy 3 owner, or are you an Apple user? What religious camp do you sit in?
I'm actually neutral as to all this, and I do need to disclose that I'm currently using a Samsung Galaxy S3 that Samsung have loaned me.
Right.
So I do have to disclose that. And look, you know, I think this would have been the phone I would have bought.
Yeah.
Simply because that little bit of screen, I mean, it goes out to then 4.3 inches. I think it's certainly more than the 4-inch screen. And, you know, I'm a gentleman of a certain age now, and lots of tiny, tiny text I can't quite read. So the slightly bigger screen is a thing for me. And then when I look at the other specs, Samsung has a quad-core processor. Apple's still going with the iPhone 5 dual-core. It's interesting that they don't even mention the processor or its speed in technical specifications. It's on about connectivity and how good the camera is and blah, 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 blah.
Things we understand, perhaps. Maybe that's why. But the technical specifications, I don't know how many megapixels is good and how much is bad. I mean, we used to be happy with 4 something or others, and now it needs to be 8 or 12, and I haven't got a clue what they are, except for the fact it seems to be 3 times better, but my pictures still come out all blurry because
that's because the lens is the key issue.
Yeah, exactly,
about a good
and
picture.
It's so small.
That's right. You know, I used to call them pimple cams.
Yeah.
Because it's got a lens the size of a burst pimple.
So if you want to get a decent picture, buy yourself a decent camera. Look, we've been talking for 15 minutes. I mean, I think we've run out of things to say now, but we've been talking for 15 minutes about a phone. for goodness sake. And if you'd said that 5 years ago, well, you know, people would be talking passionately about telephones. They'd think you're a bit nuts, wouldn't they? So
they would, and I perfectly, to be perfectly honest, I think they should still think we're a bit nuts. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, civilizations did not rise and fall on the basis of which phone they bought.
Well, I don't know, 0.5% added to the GDP for the quarter for the United States, all thanks to a phone. We'll wait and see. Still going, good to talk again. See you next week.
See you next week, Phil.
I just hope we don't see the release of the iPhone having the Android users out protesting on the streets, because, you know, they are paranoid. Paranoid Androids, aren't they, if you follow the writings of Douglas Adams.